Hello, Constant listeners. It's your host of The Far Middle, Nick Deolius. I am back, and we are back with a fresh episode, number 201. This is the first episode under our new schedule where we bring up issues as they pop up instead of the weekly installments that we had provided the first 200 episodes. And I hope you've been well. I'm very excited. I'm fired up to present to you this fresh episode of The Far Middle because I got something to say on a big and timely topic. Really hoping that you love this episode. Now, you might know that I work at one of America's great companies, CNX Resources. It's a 160-year-old energy company in the Appalachian Basin that responsibly develops and manufactures natural gas for society. It's an awesome company, awesome place to be part of the team of. And here at CNX Resources, we take pride in our three core values. Our three values are ownership, responsibility, and excellence. We've been an integral part of the Appalachian community for over those 160 years, both on the company level as well as the personal level. And these values and that history that I just mentioned, they are drivers as to why CNX and its leaders committed to our Appalachia First efforts. We've done an episode or two in the past of The Far Middle on Appalachia First. And that's where we immerse ourselves in solving the tough problems we find in our communities, where we live and operate, where we defend the noble industry of domestic energy, where we support rational policy, and most importantly, where we operate with a long-term owner mindset. If we do those things, we know we're going to ultimately deliver tangible per share value for our owners as a public company. Now, unfortunately, Appalachia and domestic energy and the great American worker, they need more approaches that mirror the CNX way. Because all of those stakeholders have been under attack for decades by unsustainable policies that have cumulatively wrecked our local communities and broader region. And that's why I wanted to weigh in on U.S. trade tariffs and the recent market volatility that we've experienced as a result of it. We've got something to say. I've got something to say. And I think you're going to enjoy this episode of The Far Middle, Constant listeners. So let's get into it. For the first time in a generation, we're seeing policy from Washington, D.C. that's designed to relevel the playing field between Appalachia and the globalist system. And I'd be remiss to not mention at the start that I am an unabashed capitalist, a small government and free market advocate. I'm a believer that the private sector operating in a competitive environment with winners and losers, that's the best of all economic systems to live within. The point being that what I'm about to speak in support of, I view as entirely consistent with those traits that I just mentioned. And I, CNX, we're not politically partisan. We've got a long track record, past and present, of supporting any party or politician that pursues sound and objectively rational policies that are going to benefit Appalachia and domestic energy. So please don't misinterpret this as a blind blanket endorsement of President Trump. But on tariffs and trade, he's absolutely pursuing a path that is in the best long-term interests of America, and it deserves our support. To cut to the chase, we support the current administration's move to impose reciprocal tariffs on trade partners that initiated tariffs on U.S. goods well before the recent U.S. moves. No doubt the new U.S. tariffs have led to short-term capital market turmoil and volatility. In many in legacy media and academia, they've used the volatility as an opportunity to berate the administration for trade policy that the experts are wrongly labeling as economic suicide, unilateral in nature, and illogical. Those experts are incorrect because the critics are glossing over the facts and they're solving for preserving the status quo, a status quo that obliterated Appalachia and the American middle class worker, that deindustrialized the United States, and that massively enriched the 0.1% and the global corporation and the affluent urbanite luxury consumer and adversary nations such as China. Look at our region of Appalachia the past 50 years since the globalist, radical environmentalists, and big government advocates took a hold of economic policy. Our communities have not just been harmed, they have been and continue to be decimated beyond recognition from what they once were. Our kids no longer learn, opioids run rampant, tax base is down, crime's up, and the population exodus continues unabated. A course correction is desperately needed. It is shocking how legacy media and elite university economics professors, they broadcast their opposition to the imposition of these reciprocal tariffs, and they promote a falsity, that we operate in a current state of free trade, and thus the imposition of tariffs that destroys free trade. There are three broad regimes of international trade, There's free trade, unfair trade, and fair trade. Free trade is where two nations impose no tariffs on the other's goods. That's not what exists today between the United States and China, or with the US and European nations and Canada, Mexico. Far from it. Instead, today we operate in a regime of unfair trade, where asymmetrical tariffs or other hurdles are present between trading partners, with one nation imposing significantly higher tariffs than its trade partner. That's a situation that's existed for decades between the United States and its largest trading partners, whereby the U.S. is burdened with an ongoing competitive disadvantage, one that cumulatively builds trillions of dollars in trade deficits and forces American industries and workers into extinction. Fair trade is the third regime, and that's where tariffs exist between trading partner nations, but they're symmetrical and they're equal, or at least close to parity. It's not ideal, it's inferior to free trade, but certainly it's an improvement to unfair trade. The Trump administration, with its recently announced tariff hikes, is looking to reposition America from a regime of unfair trade to fair trade. That shift would be a welcome change, because a couple crucial societal seismic changes occur alongside an economic transition from unfair to fair trade. America would evolve from our current demographics, where two ends of an economic barbell dominate. On one end, an elite 1% who are not just doing well, but are disconnected from the reality for the other end of the barbell, which is the growing plurality of our fellow citizens who are pushed out of the middle class and now live on the edge of poverty and who increasingly rely on the government for support. With ongoing unfair trade, the share of wealth sitting at the 1% end of the barbell, it grows while the population near or in poverty who rely on government, they increase. The net worth of the rich, it grows while the number of Americans in poverty also grows. Coastal elites enjoy cheaper luxury goods and services, while flyover country suffers at the breaking point. The recently announced U.S. tariffs, they represent an investment in America, where the middle and lower end of the U.S. economic spectrum can reap the rewards alongside enterprises that seize the opportunity to invest in domestic industry. There may be near-term price resetting in the financial securities for the top 10% of Americans, which, by the way, own 88% of equities, but an enormous uplift for the balance of our country. A move to fair trade will reverse this trend and take us from an unsustainable, unbalanced barbell societal distribution to a more sustainable and better balanced one, which is code for resurrecting the middle class. The new reciprocal levels of U.S. tariffs on imported goods, it's also going to incentivize onshoring of manufacturing and industry. If we make stuff here again, we hire our neighbors again into jobs and professions that pay family-sustaining wages and that rebuild the middle class. If that makes the newest model of a smartphone or an electric vehicle more expensive for affluent consumers, so be it. America and her people win. And we win in more ways than one. Our national security improves in a time of geopolitical turmoil. If the United States and Europe would have allowed their domestic energy industries to compete and inevitably thrive in the free market under fair trade, Russia never would have enjoyed the leverage to invade Ukraine multiple times. If the globalist view did not take hold of economic policy, the world would not be facing the prospect of a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, which would destroy the vital semiconductor supply chain and replace it with total Chinese control of it moving forward. In fact, China would not even be in a position to contemplate the invasion. The world is much more dangerous than it was 20 years ago, and the shift to globalism, asymmetrical tariffs that hurt the U.S. and favor adversaries, and the massive trade imbalances they sow, they made the world more unstable. When the geopolitical skies are darkening and storms are approaching, it's high time to retool our economy where we're better prepared to navigate and secure positive outcomes to the pending conflict. And we also win from an environmental perspective. If you view climate change as an existential threat, which I do not, we should still both agree on the need to decisively move from unfair trade to fair trade via the imposition of symmetrical tariffs. Because whatever we end up making here instead of over there will inevitably be performed under much higher environmental standards. Add to those higher standards the shorter supply chains, and you've got a drastically lower carbon footprint net-net. The Code Red and climate alarmist crowd should be cheering the Trump administration's tariff moves toward fair trade. We hear reciprocal tariffs that's going to stoke inflation. the expert class, including business media, the Fed, Ivy League economists. It's got a credibility problem on the topic of tariffs and inflation. Because on one hand, these experts for years have looked the other way to ignore the massive inflationary impacts of big government, climate policies, excessive regulation, and policy subsidizing inefficient winners and punishing the efficient to purposely manufacture scarcity. The experts then breathlessly label moving from unfair trade to fair trade and shrinking government spending in scope as suicidal and inflationary. Wrong for many reasons. Consider energy as a crucial example as to why. Nothing stokes or tames inflation as much as poor and smart energy policy, respectively. Mandating inefficient and unreliable forms of energy, subsidizing it through government deficits, and then encouraging their manufacture and control of supply chains through faraway adversary nations who impose higher tariffs on our goods than we do theirs is nuts. And that is what stoked recent bouts of inflation. And U.S. shale development within the natural gas space, it's materially stemmed the growing trade deficit over the past 14 years by displacing imports and lowering energy prices. And what was once nearly half the country's goods trade deficit, it's shifted to a net trade surplus for the U.S. A shift to fair trade, coupled with scaling back regulation and dropping the insanity of climate policies, it's going to bring energy abundance and it will surely reduce inflation. To bring all this to a capital markets context, let's talk how America's move from a position suffering from unfair trade to one providing relief via fair trade will create winners and losers. Who should investors long and who should they short? It's an interesting exercise. Long the Rust Belt pizzeria and the small town diner, and short Washington, D.C. office real estate. Long the middle class and short legacy media. Long in-person work and short remote work. Long flyover country and short coastal elite enclaves. Long the approach of long-term value investing, short the speculators and momentum traders. Long domestic manufacturing and short Chinese sweatshops. Long domestic energy and natural gas and oil, short renewables of wind and solar. Long shorter domestic supply chains and short long international supply chains. Long American national security and short our adversaries' ability to use our reliance on imported products against us. Long energy abundance and short inflation. Long the private sector and short government spending. Long the building trades and short the college humanities degree. Long local and state colleges and universities, short the Ivy League. Long the value creator and short the rent seeker. Long fair trade and short unfair trade. Yes, the resetting to a new equilibrium with the fallout of winners and losers will create capital short-term market volatility. It is inevitable that these capital shifts will occur. We're retooling the American economy from one that was based on government spending, government intervening to disrupt competitive markets, offshoring, free money, and globalization, where corporations built stuff in faraway lands at slave labor rates with no environmental standards to then sell here to either the affluent or to market segments subsidized and mandated by government. That was the model for success and profit in an era of unfair trade. The movement to fair trade will now favor the domestic doers and value creators who make it here and find ways to use it here. Appalachia goes from wasteland to rebirth. The hopelessly unemployed become sought after and face future prospects that are bright. And under the higher tariff rates in a fair trade world, government deficits shrink, as they must do if we're to avoid disaster. Oh, and last but not least, long companies like CNX Resources, for a couple of key reasons. First, manufacturers of domestic energy, they're going to play a vital role in our American resurgence when we move from unfair to fair trade. Second, fair trade's going to bring an overdue reckoning to the renewable energy industry as Chinese-made solar panels and other foreign source materials are no longer going to enjoy their murky supply chains and false claims of cost competitiveness. Lastly, companies that employ best-in-class capital allocation philosophy and tactics, they're going to enjoy an epic opportunity to create serious incremental per share value during periods of capital market volatility, like what we are currently experiencing. If Mr. Market loses his head for a while, Rational capital allocators will search for those companies such as CNX that will thrive in the long term under a domestic manufacturing and industrial rebirth, and will be especially on alert for those companies like CNX that have demonstrated the ability to generate and rationally allocate free cash flow when others cannot. Indeed, CNX is not panicked over the current market turmoil and hand-wringing. We see it as a necessary step to moving America to a better place, and also an opportunity to build serious per-share value for our owners. Well, it's time to bring this episode of The Far Middle to a close. I hope you've enjoyed it. A few final thoughts. First, although a move from unfair to fair trade would be a great improvement, no doubt, the ultimate goal, keep in mind, should always remain at achieving free trade, as in no tariffs or no similar types of barriers across trading nations. Second, attempting to jump from unfair trade straight to free trade, it's unrealistic because the nation imposing the higher tariffs, say China for example, it has no incentive to move to no tariff or to operate on equivalent environmental and human rights standards, thus removing non-tariff forms of cheating that tip the scale on trade. Imposing equal tariffs first would create such an incentive. In other words, in an unfair trade world like we've got now, you need to get to a fair trade position as a prerequisite step to ultimately achieve free trade. Third, a specific criticism, or maybe at this early stage, what would be more aptly labeled a concern that I have of the Trump administration's tariff level announcements is where the tariffs are set at higher than the tariff rate imposed currently by the trading partner on our goods. The imposition of higher tariffs by the United States doesn't bring you to fair trade. It preserves unfair trade, this time with the United States imposing the higher rates. If the higher tariffs are a negotiating and posturing tactic to settle at or near equal tariffs with the other trading partner, then it's not necessarily a bad thing. But if the intention is to keep the higher rates, it's not a step in the right direction toward fair trade. Last thought is that the journey from unfair to fair trade, it's not going to be quick, and it's certainly not going to be smooth. This is going to take time, and there's going to be pockets of market turbulence that we're going to encounter. Now, that creates opportunity for investors and for capital allocators alike if they are patient. Oh yeah, maybe one final thought after that final thought. It is great to be back with The Far Middle. Thanks for giving this a listen or a view, constant listeners. Again, tariffs that create symmetry to move us from unfair to fair trade are a good thing. Bet on America. Count on domestic energy, believe in Appalachia, invest in all of them, and stay the course over the long term. And as always, stay connected to that far middle.